Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Leverett Ball Show, as we are joined by our recurring guest and friend of the show, Bryce Weiler, and we also have a first-time guest, John Rawlings. John is a television broadcaster. He works as the sports director for WEVV in Evansville, Indiana, and he's had multiple stops in his TV career, done some stuff with the Big Ten Network, among other places, and he's also a Purdue alum. So, Bryce, welcome back, and John, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
Hi, Leverett. Thanks for another round of the Weiler Weekly.
No question. And yeah, and, you know, on the Weiler Weekly, we we talk about disability advocacy, and you know, Bryce has been very open, sharing some of his experiences being legally blind. And I actually, have nonverbal Tourette syndrome. So I've talked about that a little bit on this segment of my podcast that we do. From what Bryce told me, John, you have been open about discussing what it's been like being partially blind and how you've overcome that to, have the success you've had in your television career. But what has that experience been like, and what steps have you taken to get to where you are today?
Experience-wise, not going to lie, it is difficult. It's tough, but I've had one eye my whole life, essentially. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of doubt, a lot of people who tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. But my mom's always instilled in me that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And so I've never let the naysayers, tell me I can't.
Well, that's awesome. And also, Bryce, how did you and John first get in contact?
I've known John for a couple of years, just emailed his television station over in Evansville, Indiana. But John came down to do a story on a speech I was giving to the Rotary Club in Vincennes, Indiana, back on September the 1st of 2020. And that was one of my favorite television stories that I've ever been able to be in, just being able to be with John and to finally meet him after reading about him and listening to all of his reels on YouTube. And I just really enjoyed how John, knowing how hard it was for you to find a job being a partially blind individual in the broadcasting field, that you stuck with it and you're still continuing to break down those barriers and get rid of the obstacles that stand in your way. So that was definitely a favorite television story that I've ever been in. And I was so excited when you told me that your station management was going to let you come cover my speech.
Yeah, no, it was a blast covering you. I was pumped to meet you. So it was, I'm happy that you enjoyed the story as much as you did.
Yeah, well, and Bryce is obviously a big deal these days. Like I said, people usually listen to the Weiler Weekly episode to hear him talk, not to hear me talk. That's what I'm assuming. But I've talked with Bryce about when people with various types of disabilities apply for certain jobs. Different companies and different types of employers handle things differently, as far as some of them may ask you about, what types of disabilities or health issues you have right off the bat. Some of them, it might not come up until after you started working for them. But when it comes to, the initial process of when you first got out of Purdue and started applying to TV jobs, was that something you discussed with employers initially, or was that more something you discussed once you'd started working for them?
Being honest, my first stint in TV, I was just a photographer at a station. I started out as a production assistant. And so the people around that station knew that I had one eye. However, the news director at the time, at that station, I won't mention his name, he told me point blank, he said, "John, you will never have a job in TV. Your eye is too distracting." I received that news and it hurt, but instead of, crying or, being really upset about it, I said, "Awesome." I was like, "Thank you for letting me know this." That day, I started applying for other jobs. So right away, I was like, "Nope, I'm getting out of this," because that's not how it should be. Unfortunately, it's just with a lot of TV stations, news directors, it's looks. And that's honestly the worst part about the industry is it doesn't matter how talented you are. They look at you. If they don't like your eye, then you're done. And I actually have other friends who, you know, they have a lazy eye or something and they've been told no because of that. It's not fair. They're incredibly talented individuals. But when I went to Ohio, which that station is just, I owe everything to them. Fantastic station. They hired me, did not care about it. I even felt bad. I told them, I said, hey, it's first week on the job. I said, I just want to let you guys know, like, I do have one eye. And they're like, yeah. And your point, like it was, they did not care, which was awesome, but you're going to find, you know, different employers care about different things. And WLIO did not care about it at all. And they took me in, I moved up the ladder and then eventually wound up where I'm at today. But yeah, first job, it was, they really cared about it. I mean, even as a photographer, going from a production assistant to a photographer, their big questions were, they're like, well, if you're on the side of the road and have to film something and you only have one eye, that's dangerous. How are you going to be able to do that? And I'm like, I drive a car every day. It's just weird to see how different people measure that kind of stuff.
Hmm. Well, and you mentioned, you know, you're not going to say the name of the boss you had who told you that you couldn't make it in a TV. I'm actually going to say his name. His name is Dumbass. But anyway, Bryce, you know, have you had any experiences like that where someone has told you, you know, because of your visual impairment, we don't think you can be successful?
When I was at Evansville, there were students or even broadcasters that were hired who were nervous to commentate with me on the radio because they didn't think I could do it. But Tom Benson, who's still at Evansville working in their staff, helping with video production, he just told the broadcasters that they had to commentate with me, even if they didn't want to, because I could do it. And Tom Benson's really been one of my biggest supporters. He taught me how to analyze and commentate games on the radio as a blind sports radio broadcaster.
Well, and you know, I feel as though everyone with some type of disability has some story of someone writing them off. You know, like I said, you know, I've battled nonverbal Tourette's. You know, I've had people ask me if I'm on drugs. When I'm always fidgeting, you know, it's like, I, it looks like I have the cocaine jaw, you know, but you know, with medication, you know, I've learned to handle it a lot better. You know, and when I'm medicated, I don't have severe Tourette's. I have a mild form of nonverbal Tourette's. So when I'm medicated, it's not very noticeable. And that's one way I've been able to mask it. But, you know, John, I can kind of relate to you. You know, I've had television producers tell me when I've done stuff with like ESPN Plus and New England Sports Network, why do you always fidget? And they don't even know that they didn't even know that I had a condition, but they're like, can you stand still? And before I started taking medication, I had a stretch when I would try really hard to stand still and I would, it looked like I was like going to the bathroom in my pants because I would make this like pain face, like on live television. I probably horrified some viewers, but yeah, you know, whether it's medication or other coping strategies, people find ways to work around these things. At the end of the day, you know, Bryce has done his stuff with the Orioles and, you know, in broadcasting and other teams. You know, you've had your success on various television channels. I think at the end of the day, if you can do your job, they should hire you. If you suck at your job, they shouldn't. But if you are good at your job and happen to have some characteristic that makes you unique, who cares? So that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't mind when people come up to me and they ask me about it. That doesn't bother me at all. I'll talk about it all day long, inform people, let people know, like, yeah, you know what? I do have one eye. I'd love to talk to you about it. I take out my eye all the time for people. It doesn't bother me. I've always been, you know, show and tell kind of kid, but it's just even on those applications, when you have to like, do you have a disability? It's always the toughest thing to checkmark because, you know, you put yes, well, either you're meeting a quota or they're going to be like, nope, we don't even want to touch it. And so it's always been, I never know how to answer that because it does, like, I'll admittedly, the first time I had to do it with WLIO after my old boss told me I'd never get a job, I was like, I don't know what to say because I don't want to be written off. I want to get in the door. And I swear, once you meet me, you'll want to hire me. And mm-hmm. So I'll put no, that I don't have one, and then tell them later. But it's just so many times, I mean, you see people get written off and it's unfair. And I wish it wasn't a thing, but it unfortunately is.
Yeah. And it's definitely sad. And it's also mind-boggling. You know, it's at someone's discretion who works for them. But why would you tell someone that they can't have success elsewhere? It's at the discretion of other TV stations, whether or not they wanted you. But also, you know, Bryce has told me that, you know, when he's worked with teams and schools in different places, he's given them advice on how to accommodate people with various types of disabilities. So Bryce, you know, as John describes some of the challenges he experienced in trying to get hired initially early on in his career, what advice would you have for, let's say I'm a hiring manager, what advice would you have for me on how to handle applicants with disabilities and the appropriate way to go about it?
The advice would be that they should be open to hire people who have disabilities. But so often these companies, whether it be sports teams, restaurants, businesses, whatever the case might be, they don't know all of the accommodations or how to accommodate all these different disabilities, such as individuals who are blind, those who are deaf, those with autism, those who are in wheelchairs. So they don't want to deal with the extra work or the possible lawsuit or whatever the case might be if they don't properly accommodate this individual who's trying to apply for a job or to work with their company. Now, John previously mentioned to us how you don't say that you have, you know, any challenges or things like that when you fill out applications. But if someone watched your YouTube reels and videos, could they tell that you only had one eye? And has anyone ever addressed that with you through email or phone before they meet you face to face or over Zoom or Skype or whatever they might be using for a virtual interview?
Yeah, I've actually been addressed in that way. I've had people, you know, say like, we noticed something with your eye, and doesn't bother me. Yes, I know there's something with my eye. You can ask me about it all the time. And so I've had people say that. I mean, coworkers who, you know, the first time meeting me, they'll do the same thing. I think there's just a way to go about it. I've had really rude people come up to me in public and say like, I know something's wrong with your eye. What's going on? Like, how about you just, you know, ask in a nice way. And like I said, I'm really laid back. I'll talk to you about it as much as you want to know. And like I've said, I mean, people will be like, oh, so can you take it out? And I'm like, yeah, you want me to? Like, I have no problem doing it. But it's just, you know, just be respectful about it. That's all I'm asking. And even if, you know, if you're thinking about hiring me, I don't mind if you ask about it. That's okay. Just there's no reason to write me off. Like we said, you know, with my first boss straight up telling me never, like you will never get a job in TV. Well, yeah, okay. Me, I'm that kind of guy though. I'll use that as motivation. I'm a big, you know, like, yeah, tell me I suck. I'll prove you wrong. So I was really happy when I think it was 2 weeks later, I got that job in Ohio and then let him know. I was like, hey, by the way, I'm leaving. I got a TV sports job doing this. And then he didn't know what to say. And that was it.
Damn. You know, and lots of people talk about, you know, following up with their doubters down the road when they've gone on to have success. You know, the Adam Levine, the Maroon 5 singer, said he'll kind of be slightly petty and reach out to like record labels that rejected him back in the day and be like, remember me? Have you ever had any temptation to like hit up? I know you said, you know, you told your boss I'm leaving, I have a new job, but have you ever had any temptation to follow up with people who have written you off in the past and be like, well, you know, you can write me off while you watch me on your couch?
I've always kind of felt that like, yes, it'd be nice to, you know, kind of be like, hey, look what I am doing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they're just not worth my time. And if I'm being honest, I'll know they're curious enough, like, because they've said, hey, you'll never make it. I know that he's looked me up. And so mm-hmm. I know he's, you know, seen that decision. Now he's out of the business now. So he ended up getting fired like a couple years later or something. Like that. So it's just like with that kind of stuff. And I mean, I've had my whole life has been full of doubters. Like, oh, you know, John's not going to be able to play sports. John can't do this. John can't do that. I like that life. I like being the underdog. And so, I just like to instead of kind of letting you know about it or like sending him like some of my stories, what I instead, you know, I'll just prove it in a different way. And so like, for instance, I won an award. It was like best news story in the state of Indiana. He was there. He saw me accept the award. I didn't talk, but I know he was there. And so if I can prove it, you know, on the field or in my job, then that's how I choose to do it. So just a go-getter, like to prove them wrong and try to do the best that I can.
Well, I guess actions speak louder than words. Well, and Bryce, you know, do you kind of have the similar approach where you just try and make a statement with what you accomplished versus, you know, telling people off?
I definitely don't get on the people who've doubted me, but if it's doing something such as trying to make something more accessible with their team, if I get something going with another team or another company, I'll email them and let them know what I'm doing. I don't tell them, hey, you doubted me the last time. I just let them know what I'm doing to help others in the hopes that that will change their mind for whatever they didn't want to do that I thought they could do better at, because I'm really trying to make things better for all individuals, whether it's through app accessibility or website accessibility or giving them the opportunity to experience sports. So I try to just show those who've doubted me what I'm still doing to help others in the hopes that they'll change their mind. And a couple of them have.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, and also though, John, you know, you've talked about how you're very open. Like when employers or other people ask you about your eye, you're very open, you know, as long as they ask respectfully. But as far as being open, are you also partially motivated to be open to inspire other people who may deal with similar challenges?
Oh yeah. So my my doctor actually, there's some kids who handle it, I guess, just in a poor way. It's a hard adjustment. Mm-hmm. Me, I would say, luckily, I've never really had to make the adjustment just because I've had it since I was 6 months old.
Okay.
So I've had one eye for as long as I can remember. But with other kids who lose their eye at the age of, you know, 13 or 6 or 52, just things like that, it's difficult. I went to high school with the kid who accidentally shot his eye out. He did not, he handled it. I mean, it was just devastating for him. And
yeah,
from that point on, it was almost like he had this hatred of life. And I was like, no, man. I was like, yes, you got one eye, big deal. It's like, you got to make the best of it, because you do. No matter what hand you're dealt, you got to live your life and make the best of it. You can't sit back and just, you know, pout about it. It's, hey, here's the hand you're dealt, play it. And my eye doctor, if there's ever kids who are struggling, he will refer them to me. And I'll talk with anyone. I do not mind doing it. I've always tried to, you know, be as positive as you can with it. I'm not going to lie to you. There's difficult times. I can't stress enough. I picked up golfing like 3 years ago, and every day I'm like, man, if I had two eyes, I could probably, you know, have some depth perception, figure out where I can hit the ball and stuff like that. But I play to the best of my ability and enjoy myself. That's it. I run into things. It happens. I spill things on myself. It happens, but that kind of stuff is going to happen. So yeah, if there's ever anyone, you know, anyone listening that wants to contact me, feel free. I will speak to anyone about it.
Well, and, you know, John, I wouldn't be too hard on yourself about golf, though. I have two eyes, and I have no idea where the golf ball is going when I swing the club. So, you know, I can relate to, you know, having some struggles on the golf course. But then, you know, also a question I have for both of you. There are obviously challenges that come with having disabilities, but if one thing is a challenge for you, you become strong in other ways. It's almost like, you know, people who are in wheelchairs, they develop good upper body strength, you know, pushing their wheels around all the time. And for me personally, like having Tourette's, and then also I have ADD, you know, I struggled in school as a kid. It was very humiliating, but my way of getting through it was basically learning to be embarrassment proof. And that's really helped me in television, because, you know, both of you guys can relate to this. You guys have broadcasted before. You know, if you make a mistake as a broadcaster on air, lots of people see it. You know, in some jobs, you make a mistake, your boss might yell at you, but the only people who know about it are you and your cubicle mates. you know, in broadcasting, you make a mistake, it's public. You know, you can go viral. You know, you can be the idiot broadcaster who messed up someone's name and it's viral on YouTube. But I've learned through my experiences with disabilities to be embarrassment proof. And when I go on TV, people ask me, do you get nervous? I literally am emotionally even on television. Literally, I could pee on myself on TV and it wouldn't bother me. So I've learned through my experiences to be embarrassment proof. But for both of you, are there any ways in which your experiences with you, John, being partially blind and Bryce being legally blind as well, that that's actually benefited you, the things you learned from it?
From my side, I think it's really important to value others and to always be willing to ask for help if you need it. And if you don't need help, don't be rude when you tell the person that you don't need help, because there may be someone who's blind or in a wheelchair who that person may want to help the next time. But because myself or someone else who they asked for help in the past was rude to them, then they don't ask the next person who really needs their help because they're lost or they can't find their way and they got 3 minutes to get to their class or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, and I was going to say, with me, I'll second your embarrassment proof. It is funny. I've told people, like, I don't get embarrassed. I really don't get nervous. And I've always said, like, awkward situation kind of thing. The only thing that, you know, makes things awkward is if you let them be awkward. I do think you've just, you know, been trained on that for a very, you know, it just happens so much. It's like, oh yeah, this is how you deal with it. And I'll admit, when I was a kid and, you know, people would call me a monster and, like, I mean, little kids are just mean. So I was called, you know, one-eyed monster, Cyclops, that kind of stuff, whatever. I'd go home and cry to my mom about it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, my mom, she's like, are you a one-eyed monster? And it's like, no. And it's like, okay, then who cares? Don't let it bug you. And so I'll second with your embarrassment proof. It's really, you know, kind of, it's just helped. And then I want to make sure I answer your question. What exactly was your question once more?
Bryce has pointed this out on previous episodes. I take kind of a zigzagging road to the punchline sometimes. You know, I have all kinds of energy. But I asked more like, you know, through your experience, you know, you learned a lot of things and a lot of lessons. Have those lessons kind of, like I mentioned, you know, I've become embarrassment proof. Have some of the lessons you've learned through being treated unfairly and some of the challenges you've overcome, has that made you a better broadcaster and benefited you in the long run?
You just wish that everyone kind of had an experience like you have had. Because it does open up your eyes. I mean, you will notice that, you know, you do see that person who needs help. And it's just terrible as a kid. You see people who do need help and, you know, are struggling with something. And you see that kid who gets made fun of for no reason. And you having, you know, experienced that, it's like, okay, now you see it. From a TV standpoint, I mean, you see it on the field, you see it off the field, and you wonder, it's like, hey, maybe I should go talk to that kid. And you talk to that kid, and then it's like, oh, you know, John's talking to that kid, and that kid, you know, it makes their day. And so just it makes you more aware of your surroundings. And so I've had people, you know, hey, if you could have two eyes, would you trade it? No, I like my life with one. I think it does make you become a better person. And so it opens you up to a lot of new things.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, if people treat you unfairly, that kind of opens your eyes to what it feels like to be on the receiving end. And I think that's maybe a painful way to learn, but a way to learn why it's important to treat people the way you want to be treated. And kind of also, like you mentioned, the, you know, embarrassment proof thing. I mean, I could tell you so many stories of times I've screwed up on the air and, like, people have been like texting me like, I saw you say something dumb on the air, like, are you okay? And I've been like, yeah, like, it was hilarious, laugh at me, like, you know what I mean? Like, has that made you more kind of so they call it, you know, stage presence in acting, but has that made you more comfortable on the air because you had people criticize you as a kid, so now you don't care if someone rips you on Twitter?
Yeah. I've always been, I'd like to say, I'm my biggest critic. I mean, I'm very hard on myself just on the level of, you know, pronunciation and things like that. And just, you know, grading myself overall. But yeah, when I make a mistake, it's all about how you recover. Because if you recover, you're fine. And once you train yourself to recover, and you're going to make a mistake, everyone is. It happens. You're going to pronounce a kid's name wrong. You laugh it off. You say something wrong. You laugh it off. It's fine. It's, again, just all about your recovery. And I've had the same thing where people, you know, hey, you messed up, or hey, you said this, and people will tweet at me. And I'm like, look, yep, I get it. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. My favorite are when the people, some people are just rude about it. And I've always said, when it comes to broadcasting or being on TV, it's like, hey, how would you like it if I just came to your cubicle and just screamed at you the whole time and told you you were wrong? I was like, hey, you're trying to do your job. And I'll apologize. Like, hey, I am sorry I messed up. It happens. I just try to, you know, not mess up frequently.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do TV stuff. I also do a little bit of event hosting. I was hosting a senior day ceremony for a team at Harvard University, and my microphone broke three different times during the ceremony, but it would like stop working and start working, so you hear like parts of my sentences. And they had to troubleshoot my mic in the middle of the ceremony. And when we got the mic working again, I said on the microphone, well, let's hope the Harvard volleyball team has a better day than the announcer. And like, it literally, like, everyone in the room cringed besides me, and I was the one who looked like an idiot. But you know, it's a freeing feeling to not care about looking like an idiot. I mean, that's how I've gotten through every day of my life, you know, as Bryce would know. So yeah, so John, we've learned a lot about you know, your career and some of the things you've been involved in. But what are some of your goals in the near future coming out of the pandemic in regards to both what you're doing professionally and also some of your activism in the community for people with disabilities?
Goal-wise, it's always been, I just like helping people. If I can help you, that's, you know, it's awesome. We just did a story on this girl. She, for instance, her right leg is amputated. She's a swimmer, though, and she's an awesome swimmer. She's, you know, trying to qualify for the Paralympic team and everything. She's amazing. And it's just, you know, letting her tell her story, just getting it out that, yes, having a disability is different, but you can overcome it. It's just, it's all about, you know, up here, what your mentality is. I've always struggled. I don't like, and I believe Bryce, we've said the same thing. Like, we really don't even like saying, you know, disability or the word disability, just because it has that bad stigma around it. It's not a disability. It's an opportunity. That's, you know, the way I've always seen it. And also my work with the Special Olympics, I always try to, you know, help kids out in that way. And with the polar plunge coming up and everything, I'm just, you know, excited for that. And yeah, like I said, my goal always has been, if I can help people, that's what I want to do. So anyone that I can help, if I can, you know, inspire that kid to get up and try something new, perfect. Get up and try a sport. I could have went my whole high school career not doing a single sport, but instead I tried playing as many as I could. But yeah, it's just, as long as I can help people, that's the ultimate goal.
Well, that's great. And that's great also, you know, since you're on TV, you know, you have a bigger platform than the average person. And the fact that you've used that to try and make a difference is great. So also, guys, we've talked a lot about your own experiences, but moving forward, you know, in society, you know, I think to some degree, there needs to be a collective effort to make people with various disabilities feel comfortable and accepted. I don't think it's fair for people with disabilities to be fighting that battle and then no one else cares. So what are some ways that the two of you think that society can improve as far as, you know, making things more comfortable and accessible for people with various types of disabilities?
I think that there's less of a stigma with the word disability than there was 5 to 10 years ago. Companies and sports teams and businesses all over this country and the world as a whole are realizing the value of embracing individuals with disabilities, both for employment with their companies, but also seeing how individuals who have disabilities can influence their product or items that they purchase based on a company showing how much they care about helping individuals with disabilities or tailoring their products towards individuals with disabilities. As far as getting things better, individuals who have disabilities for employment or for other things, the government should really try to set standards for what companies have to do, especially for the hiring practices. Now, companies do have this for, or the federal government does have this for company works directly with the federal government in some fashion. 7 to 10% of their workforce has to have some type of a disability. But if the company does not deal with the federal government and they work in the private sector in some manner or fashion, they don't have to abide by that standard. So somehow setting standards for what companies who work in the private sector have to do for individuals who have disabilities. And I know that if the politicians came together, that that could be done.
Yeah, John, what do you think as far as some of the things Bryce said and ways things can improve?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's an uphill battle. It's unfortunate you can't, if you could take everyone in the world and place them, you know, in a room and have Bryce speak to them, bang, that would solve so much. It's just unfortunate that we can't, you know, you can't have that. You can't have, you know, a group of people who, you know, could talk about, hey, this is why it was rough for me. This is why it was hard, because, you know, and I know some of those people in the crowd is like, because of people like you who are making fun of me. It's things like that. And it's just, I mean, it's just unfortunate that kids are mean, you know, when they're young, they don't know better necessarily. It's a thing, but you just hope that growing up that, you know, there is someone that you come along with that, you know, you can help. Or just reaching out to that person, making sure they're all right, you know, checking in and saying, like, hey, can I help you? Just it's the only way that it can be solved is if everyone just has an open mind. You just need to really be aware of what's in front of you. Just kind of, you know, look. That's all you have to do. Look, you'll see, and just, you know, welcome people. That's it. We're all humans. So, you know, help each other out. Be as successful as we can be.
Yeah, well, and what you said also, I mean, not just in the disability world, but there's just so much division in our country and worldwide right now, you know, in early 2021. And it's kind of like you said, some people, they act the way they act because of how they were treated by other people. And it's kind of like a spreading of this negative energy. So I think with so many different things, if people just kind of put aside their insecurities, their anger, whatever, and just talked and looked at things, you know, from an objective angle, that would make a huge, huge difference. But John, obviously, like I mentioned, it's your first time coming on the podcast. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us. A couple final questions. First of all, for any of our listeners who want to follow you on social media, what are your handles?
Yeah, at John Rawlings TV, J-O-H-N, and then Rawlings, just like the baseball, capital T, capital B. That's Facebook and Twitter. I'll be honest, I don't use Facebook that much. Way more active on Twitter. And again, if anyone ever wants to reach out to me, direct message is always open. I'm more than willing to talk to anyone. Would love to talk to anyone that, you know, is dealing with anything or anyone who has any questions.
Well, and also, you know, my final question, you said that you would not share the name of your former boss who treated you badly. However, if any of our listeners or viewers would like to visit him and have some words with him, what is his home address?
Okay. I don't even know where he's at right now.
You know what? I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to get you in trouble. Just disregard that question. But no, but John and Bryce, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Seriously, you ever want me on again, let me know.
Absolutely. Wow, that's quite an offer. I was thinking probably after today, you'd be like, that was the worst experience of my life. You know, I thought I was going to get blocked on every social media platform by you. But hey, we might take you up on that.
Yeah, anytime you let me know. Bryce, you too. Anytime you need any help, you just let me know.
Sounds great. Thanks for your friendship, John, and for coming on with us and really sharing what anyone who has disability or not can do if they just try their hardest. And for the individuals who don't have disabilities or challenges like that, seeing what you've done, they don't really have an excuse to not be successful in their life or trying hard to break down barriers and obstacles. Because look what you've done, even after being turned down with your first shot in television, which could have caused you to want to switch and to go somewhere else, you still had the courage and the fortitude to continue striving forward, and you've been very successful in television and in sports newscasting ever since then.
Yeah, and I'll give credit where credit's due. My mother always told me that the only disability in life is a poor attitude. So take that as you will. It's all, you know, mental up here. If you can, you know, just be positive and tell yourself you can do something, you can do anything you want.
Well, and, you know, obviously giving credit to your mother, maybe we can clip this off and you can send her that specific video clip on Mother's Day. That'd be a great Mother's Day shout out.
Yes, it would. I actually give my mom shout outs on TV all the time.
Nice, nice. Yeah, she must be proud. But once again, that's John Rawlings and Bryce Weiler. I'm Leverett Ball. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Leverett Ball Show.